All right, the first question tonight, how old do I have to be baptized? And if I'm not baptized by immersion, am I not saved? First off, let me say, as I mentioned last night, the word baptism by definition means immersion. Secondly, in none of our presentations have I ever tried to determine who would be lost and who would be saved. That's not my job. That's God's job. And it depends upon a person's relationship to Jesus. Thirdly, I can only tell you what it says in the scripture. Now, the thief on the cross, he never made it to the waters of baptism. But Jesus promised him he would be in the kingdom. But he's the exception, not the rule, you understand. And we need to keep that in mind. All I can do is refer you to what it says in Mark 16, 15 and 16. And here, Jesus says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And as you read that, and there are other scriptures that say similar things, you need to interpret that with regard to your own situation. Concerning age, how old must a child be to be baptized? Old enough to understand and be willing to realize that he's accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior and the guide of his life. Some young people come to that decision earlier than others. I know one of my four kids was baptized at 8. Another was closer to 12 or 13 at the time they decided to be baptized. I have personally made an observation, and that is if a child waits until he's 14 or after, he usually doesn't make that decision until later on when he's in his mid-20s. And the reason is, by that time, they seem to kind of get wrapped up with their friends and the things of the world around them. And it's harder for them to make a decision until later in life. But the earlier we make our decision for the Lord, it does two things. Number one, it gives us so many more years of service. And secondly, think of all the evil that we have avoided during those years. That when we come to the Lord later, sometimes we've already made a lot of mistakes. So I would say, number one, that it depends on whether or not a person is mature enough and understands the gospel and is willing to make a commitment to that. And secondly, I would counsel with your parents, maybe with your pastor, and they may be able to help you decide whether or not you're ready to make that. And so that's the fact is that we need to make a decision for the Lord before the devil gets a hold of us. if we push it off, believe me, the devil will keep us busy, so we'll never make a decision for the Lord. The apostles took a stand, yet they were crucified. Why did God not deliver the apostles? All right, the short answer is, I don't know. Okay, now I'll give you the long answer. Not all of the apostles were crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross, which we call the St. Andrew's cross. Paul had his head cut off. There were others who had their brains dashed out. There were others who were run through with spears and chopped up with halberds. Halberds are like axes. There were some who were drawn and quartered. Only John lived to an old age and died of natural causes. Now, even though the emperor tried to boil him in oil, but unsuccessfully, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now get that. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You will notice that Christianity is not for wimps. People who are looking for an easy Christianity probably aren't standing up for biblical Christianity, because Christianity takes a commitment. One of the early church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It seems like every time they would kill off one of these men, others would take their stand and there would be more disciples being made and popping up all over. And perhaps this is the reason why the Lord allowed some to give their lives. And in the end, toward the end of time, up to a certain point anyway, there may be more that will have to give their lives. But you know, it's really a lot easier to die for Jesus than it is to live for Jesus. And there will be some who may have to give their lives and die for Jesus. But for the majority of us, he wants us day by day to live for him. And as we live for him, you will find your friends, your relatives, your bosses, your kids. When you start standing up for what's right, you'll find that they'll have little remarks to make now and then. And because they love you, they know where to stick the pins, where it hurts the most. And so Christianity takes commitment. And I don't know if that completely answers your question, but we need to realize that when we stand for the truth, the Lord will stand with us and give us peace of mind, knowing that we are doing what he asks us to do. And who knows, by your standing firm, sometimes even your greatest persecutors may be converted and join you. And I know in my own case, this happened with my own father, who gave me a hard time. And finally, at the age of, 81, 82, he turned around and joined the church. So people are looking to see if you're for real. And they'll be testing you to see if you're for real. And if you stand firm for the word of God, you may see people in heaven that you helped to bring there. I think that's a good question. How can you not have fear if you don't believe and love Christ, knowing the future? Well, you can't. Because Romans tells us that, and in there you will see that there's an innate fear of things to come for those who don't believe. Those who know what the scripture says, and they aren't following it, no matter what they may tell you, inwardly they're dreading death, they're dreading the coming of Christ, they're dreading the judgment. So you can't not fear once you know the truth. This war on religion. It does not appear that the government is doing anything to save or reduce their efforts. Prayer out of school, pushing to take God out of our currency, remove religious symbols. Are we moving away from religious laws and religion? At the present, it may seem so. It may seem that atheism is gaining an upper hand. It's very interesting. A very interesting book is the book of Daniel. And in the 11th chapter of Daniel, you may have a hard time reading it because that thing is packed with history. And in there, it will discuss the tensions between religion and atheism. And when I have a Daniel seminar, I want you all to come to it, okay? And we'll get into it then. But you need to realize that the pendulum has swung over here toward atheism. But before long, I think you're going to see it swing back in the other direction. And you're going to have persecutions of religions on one end. You're going to have persecutions on the other end, too. And I don't know, human beings just have a hard time being in the middle of the road and being sensible. We have to go from one extreme to another, it seems. But at present, don't be discouraged. I've read the Bible. I've read the end of the book of Revelation. And guess what? Christ wins. So keep that in mind.